Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Megan. I'm one of the ministers here at Deep Creek, and I am definitely not the star of the show today, although star. And of course, it wouldn't be a Christmas service without the most gorgeous little angels we've ever seen. Thanks to that crowd that created such a fantastic Christmas skit. Kids do get some of the essence of Christmas. They know about how to do joy. They know how to do anticipation. But there's something that they do almost every day when they're playing that teaches us something about Christmas as well. I wonder if you've ever played Chasey or Tiggy or however you want to call it, any sort of game, and you have to make up rules to find the safe place. So maybe we used to say barley. I don't know why. But we say barley, which meant you can't tag me. There'd be places that were out of bounds, and maybe that would shift depending on whether the person was about to get you. Oh, no, this is safe, this is home base, this is barley. The chasing, the tagging, the arguing has to stop when the rule is in place. It's like a way of declaring pause. Peace, I'm untouchable right now. No more conflict, no more chasing, no more chaos. Kids get it. But what about real life? Imagine if someone could call barley or safe or peace and it actually stopped all conflict, all chaos, not just in a game but everywhere. Well, in this amazing Christmas story, we hear about an angel declaring peace, not just for a moment, but for all time, a peace beyond anything we could expect. Now, I've never travelled to Northern Europe, but from what I can tell, from my vast rabbit hole searching on the internet, they really know how to do Christmas right. Christmas markets in Germany. Has anyone ever been? Ah, nice. Yes, thank you. Good, great. I can be jealous of you later. In Finland, there's a unique tradition that happens every Christmas Eve, midday, and it's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. It happens in a few different places, but this is Turku. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's the old capital of Finland. And an official wearing a fancy sash, looking very serious, reads a proclamation declaring that at midday on Christmas Eve, Christmas peace has arrived. The official encourages everyone for the next 48 hours to live in harmony with one another, to live in peace, and then they wish everyone a Merry Christmas. But here's the kicker. They also announce that if you do anything bad during that time, if you break the peace during those 48 hours, the punishment will be more severe than usual. Like, I guess, double demerit points for those of us who are used to driving on Australian roads. So if you're thinking about speeding, if you're thinking about stealing someone's presents, if you're thinking about sneaking some extra cookies, I'm not sure if that's included, but think again, because to maintain the Christmas peace, that threat is doubled. Now, it's a beautiful tradition, but it's temporary. Of course, once those 48 hours are over, life goes back to normal. But in Luke's gospel, we see something far greater. The angel's message to the shepherds wasn't just a seasonal announcement to go on cards or to have a fancy sash. It was the ultimate declaration of peace. A heavenly official proclaiming that the conflict between humanity and God was over. So the angel said, this is my angel, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is such exalted language. It's not just a feel-good message or a momentary pause. It's a cosmic ceasefire. All of our turning our backs against God, all of our putting on our own crowns when he's the real king, all of the mess that we've made of this incredible world, all of that could now be put right and transformed into true connection and peace with God. We don't have to hide anymore because we're afraid of him or because we're angry at him or because we've ignored him or we think that he's coming to get us. He's declared that there is peace between him and us, and it's time to come home. One of the most extraordinary examples of peace breaking into chaos happened during World War I with the Christmas Truce of 1914. World War I, like any war, was truly horrific. Soldiers on both sides of this war were stuck in muddy trenches, facing constant danger, bitter cold, little comfort, disease, hunger. The war seemed endless, and the conflict stretched across much of Europe and involved millions. For kids who might not know, it's not just a small, this wasn't a small disagreement. This involved many, many countries, many young people, many old people lost loved ones or their lives. And soldiers lived in terrible conditions with bombs and gunfire around them every day. And they desperately needed a break, a moment of peace, safety, Bali amidst all the chaos. Sorry, my ears are the wrong shape today. And then on Christmas Eve in 1914, this is an illustration that was published around the time, something incredible happened. Soldiers who were tired of the endless fighting reached out to their enemies, starting small, because they recognized the specialness of Christmas. First, they started singing carols like Silent Night. Then, slowly but bravely, soldiers from both sides climbed out of their trenches to greet each other in no man's land. It wasn't planned by leaders. They hadn't been told this is what's going to happen. It was spontaneous for the most part. They shared small gifts if they had them. They exchanged words of kindness. Apparently, even played a game of soccer, like what was happening out in the foyer earlier this morning. For a brief magical moment, the fighting stopped and peace had broken through. But of course, as inspiring as that truce was, it didn't last. The war resumed shortly after, and the soldiers were back in their trenches and they'd become enemies again. Human efforts for peace, even in the name of Christmas, and so beautiful, were still temporary and fragile. We need something bigger. We need a peace that's not just declared by us, by an official, by soldiers, but delivered by God himself. So, what kind of peace did the angels mean when they said, on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests? Was it to end all wars and conflicts? Well, it certainly contained the power to do that. And how we long and pray for that now more than ever. But the peace the angels declared was an even greater peace than between countries. It was about fixing the broken relationship between humanity and God. Isaiah 9, verse 6, which we often read Isaiah 9 at Christmas time, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, calls that child the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to bring peace, wholeness, healing, salvation. Shalom is the word. Nothing missing, everything right. It wasn't just about making people feel better or stopping a fight or having an exchange of gifts and beautiful songs. It was about reconciling us to God, putting us together, nothing missing, everything right. Well, you know how in Finland, as I said, the Christmas peace is read by an official? Well, the angel was like heaven's official with its wings, declaring that the ultimate peace treaty had arrived. Through Jesus, God was saying the conflict stops here. The separation between us is over. And it wasn't temporary, it was eternal. Another part of the New Testament, Romans 5, says, therefore, since we've been justified, made right, nothing missing, through faith, trusting in Jesus, we have peace with God. This is a peace that lasts forever. And for the adults among us, it's worth, I think, reflecting on what it takes to maintain this Finnish declaration of peace, this threat of punishment, double demerits, and where punishment falls in God's declaration of peace. Does punishment motivate us to keep the peace? No. Jesus deals with that punishment. It's not doubled, it's dealt with on the cross. The peace that Jesus brings is one that can never be broken. We trust in Jesus, Savior and Lord, Messiah and King. Without his birth, death and resurrection, we're stuck in our sin and peace can only be fleeting. Truces get broken. Barley ends. But with him, it is eternal peace. It lasts forever. It's incredible news. The peace the angel announced was so massive, so life-changing that one angel couldn't do it alone. You knew this was coming. Hang on. All right. I'm going to need some help here. Matt, you're on the spot. Yep. Okay. Here we go. I mean, you got to be careful. I mean, I'm good, but it's not. Okay. All right. Here we go. The whole sky filled with, hang on, here we go, a choir of angels. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. A choir of angels, because the good news was so good, they not only had to call all their friends to declare it, but they needed as many heavenly declarations as were possible, because this was for all people across every age, for all time. This was cosmic peace, not kept by human beings, but made, delivered, dealt with, and promised forever by God. Let's put them across here. I think that'll be nice. And who did they tell first? Thanks, legend. Not kings or priests, but ordinary, humble people. People like you and me, people working, people wishing they had more, people wondering how they were going to make it through, people who were overlooked, people who were looked down on. This peace was for them and for us. So the peace that Jesus brings is truly beyond expectation. It's not limited to a single moment. It's not limited to Christmas tradition or human effort. It's a peace that can change hearts and bring hope. Jesus replaces fear and anger in our hearts with love and grace. He doesn't just call for peace, he actually provides it internally. This is a work that's not simply out there, it's in here. Peace can naturally flow out of our lives when we are not dominated by fear. Think about how the shepherds' lives changed. First of all, they were told, do not fear. And then the rest followed. Their fear turned into joy and excitement. That happens for us when we trust in and experience Jesus. We can show love to others. We can be bold with grace. Peace can flow out of us. And Jesus' peace brings hope. Even when the world feels chaotic, Jesus' peace anchors us in God's promises, reminding us, even when it feels like everything's falling apart, that God is still in control. The shepherds went from watching their flocks in that dark night to walking confidently toward Bethlehem, trusting in what they'd been told. And that can happen to us. The same hope is available for us, giving us purpose, boldness, and a light to our feet. So as we celebrate Christmas, let's remember the angels' declaration. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. If you've been longing for peace, know that it's found in Jesus. Just like the shepherds, we're invited to seek him, to experience the peace that he brings. If you've come today and you're not a Christian, but you know someone who is, maybe it's good to talk to them about what it means for them to trust in Jesus. If you are not sure of your own beliefs, even though you've been coming to church forever, why not find someone to talk to? Why not ask God? Why not read the scriptures this Christmas and find out how you can experience the joy and wholeness and peace of Jesus? He doesn't just bring a pause. He doesn't just bring a temporary truce. He brings a peace that lasts forever because it's the peace of being God's friend. Amen.